97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6:02 on a Friday night. We would normally say a football Friday, but we get the week off as the Super Bowl is next weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers looking forward to that game. Devon Givens with you, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Josh Rabick producing the show. Joe Torti will be in at 8. We will go until 10 o'clock together, and we're going to have some fun tonight because I find this thing that you just heard with Mike's show doing a great job as always. Great work by Andrew filling in for Tyrone. That in there as well. B West, 4 o'clock hour. Always fun to hear B West, especially when we talk basketball and we get to argue about some things. Always fun. But this whole thing with McNabb and T.O. And it's something that Joe and I wanted to talk about at 8 o'clock, but I wanted to start in a little bit of a different direction based off of McNabb and T.O. and this little thing that they now have going on yet again. How many years later, guys? 15 years later, they still are poking and bickering at one another where it's totally unnecessary. And I've always said this, I'm a Donovan McNabb supporter. I was a big T.O. fan, big Donovan McNabb fan. Felt like after his playing days, and even during his playing days, he got too much heat that wasn't really warranted, in my opinion.
Number five will always love you.
Love you back. But sometimes you get on my nerves because I can't back you all the time in some things that you say, Donovan. And he went on this show, and he's talking about everything that happened during the 2004 season, playing in the 2005 Super Bowl with T.O. coming back and having a phenomenal performance. They lost the game. We all know how it went. And I try to defend Donovan McNabb as much as possible. And he really did not say much that was wrong when he was talking about this thing, right? And the only thing I didn't like at the end of one of the clips that you'll hear, right, if you watch the video, is when he's talking about, you know, I'm a grown man. He's like, whoa, hold on, wait a minute, tough guy, hang on. What are you trying to do here? Okay, Hugh Douglas is fighting your battles in the locker room. Relax, you know. But anyway, this thing is petty, and it's 15 years later, and these guys are still going at it. Here's my thing, and Josh and I were talking about this, and we'll certainly dig in a little bit more at 8 o'clock when Joe Torti gets in. I enjoyed their work when they were here together for the 1 year. 2004, 2005, they go into it. They get everything started. The contract dispute is still not resolved. T.O. is not happy. He gets sent home. Now it's the whole charade of the sit-ups and everything that happens in the driveway of his home in New Jersey. Donovan's talking about he's rooming with Brian Dawkins and Jeremiah Trotter, and Doc comes back to the room and he says, what has he done now, right? And all of these wild things, and he says these things, and you're like, all right, got it. But that was something that was taken away from us, right? Something that we thought would last a long time here in town. A long, long time here in town. They had already established themselves as a contender. They just needed that one thing to get over the hump. McNabb was already a Pro Bowl quarterback. The defense was phenomenal. You had a great all-around back like Brian Westbrook, a tight end, Chad Lewis, L.J. Smith starting to emerge. Todd Pinkston could not be your one. He needed to be your two. He had a great year opposite T.O. when he was here. All of this stuff, we all remember how great that team was, how great the run was when they kept getting to the NFC Championship game but could not advance to the Super Bowl. They were fantastic together for the 1 year. We know what we saw, what it was. It was great. Going in against the New England Patriots, the New England Patriots are the New England Patriots, but I do not believe or remember many people who said, I'm afraid of them going into that game. There was confidence that you were going to beat the New England Patriots in the 2005 Super Bowl in Jacksonville, right? All right, so after they lose the game, we saw what happens. We know everything that happened. All right, big disappointment. Get them when they come back. We'll get them next year. We'll retool. Right? Here we go. We, right? As an Eagle fan, you go, we'll retool. Donovan's going to be better. T.O.'s going to be healed up. He's going to be great. B. West is coming off an all-pro year. L.J. Smith now coming back. He's going to be great. The defense is just going to continue to improve. They're going to keep adding things. Sheldon and Lito, right? All this stuff. Michael Lewis, it's going to be great. We were robbed. The next year, we did not get what we thought we were going to be getting for a few years. We all know what happened at the end of the day. We did not get T.O. in the Eagles offense with everybody else, where we were going to get this long, long, long time relationship where we were going to continue to see the Philadelphia Eagles get to the Super Bowl, not just the NFC Championship game, but the Super Bowl. And that was taken away from us. We did not see it. And after that, things just started going downhill with so many different things that did not happen the way we thought for the Philadelphia Eagles. And at the end of the day, they never won a Super Bowl until, of course, the 2017 team. And the former players were thrilled about what that team did. Happy to see the organization win, but we all thought it was going to be them. So what we wanted to ask you guys to start things off, because that was a big disappointment, that we never got what we were supposed to get from that team. And now these two are still bickering. And had things happened the way they should have, I blame the organization more than I blame Donovan McNabb. And I heard Mike say it. And Mike is right when he was talking to B-West. You know what? All Donovan had to do was kind of suck it up. You know he's a maniac. Let him be a maniac. And go on about your business, because you are the adult at this point. Act like it. But he could not allow his ego to take that any longer. B. West brings up the conversation all the time about when they got to the huddle and one of the plays, T.O. is barking at McNabb. You miss me. You miss me down the field. Donovan had enough. Shut the bleep up. And right there, that's when he basically lost T.O. in the huddle. And so we were all robbed. The Eagles were robbed. The other players that were in the huddle on the team, they were robbed. We were robbed of seeing them advance. So it did not work. We were robbed. It was a disappointment. So what we wanted to ask you guys to start things off tonight here as we go until 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock solo, Joe Torti in at that time. We'll go until 10 together. Then Joe will carry you until midnight to close out the evening. Wanted to ask you guys this. That did not work. We all thought that that was going to work. That was a big disappointment. What were some of the other big disappointments with things that you were really, really certain were going to work for your local teams? Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, whatever it was, whether it was a front office move, bringing someone in, whether it was a player taking over, whether it was something that you thought in the draft that you were 100% sure this was going to happen, and it did not work out. Andrew Salchunas just texted me a great one, and I'll save it because you might have something to lend to the conversation of one that you really, really, really 100% you were sure that it was going to work. Okay? 610-632-0975. Now, I'll give mine. I'm going to steal one. You all know I was not a fan of the rebuild for the 76ers led by Sam Hinkie. I always say I understood it, but I did not like it. I did not like the approach of losing on purpose to do what they needed to do to get the draft picks and all of that. We know I don't want to go through the whole thing. I'm just giving my example of what I thought was going to work. So here's what I thought was going to work. After things started to go awry with the NBA being unhappy with what Sam Hinkie was doing, the embarrassment that was then on the team and the league with how they were going about their business, I was all in on bringing in another basketball voice in the front office to help further things along. Because let's remember, Sam Hinkie had the audacity to ask for a 10-year contract. So he was going to do this as long as he needed to do it until he felt it was right to get this thing corrected. I understand it. I didn't like it. So, where I was wrong, I may not have been wrong with the idea of bringing someone in to now push and have things moved further along. I was wrong by accepting Brian Colangelo was going to be the one to get things right for the 76ers. His first draft pick, Ben Simmons, we could have done that. You can argue that Ben Simmons was the right player, or Brandon Ingram, Jamal Murray, a friend of mine, Philly Ream, we were talking about this recently, where he wanted Jamal Murray, Brandon Ingram. It might be on the verge of being an all-star this season. We'll find out next week when the reserves, this season when the reserves are named next week. Ben Simmons will also be an all-star. That's a lock. I'm not worried about that. But you might feel like that was the wrong thing, right? Drafting Ben Simmons. But my point is, for me, where I was wrong was I thought that Brian Colangelo, just in general, the move of bringing in a new voice as a general manager was the right thing to do. Not saying that Sam Hinkie, because I don't know that Sam Hinkie was able to then take the next step, move this thing forward. And now, like we're talking about Brett Brown, can Brett Brown be the guy to coach them on the next level to win? We're still waiting. We don't know yet. Was Sam Hinkie going to be that? I don't know that. I would say no, but I don't know that, so I can't really say definitively that that's my answer. But I was wrong in thinking that Brian Colangelo, as a two-time executive with the Phoenix Suns, putting together with Mike D'Antoni that great team that they had, the 7 Seconds or Less team led by Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire, Quinn Richardson, Sean Marion, the whole thing, then going to Toronto and also doing the exact same thing, winning Executive of the Year when they put together that really good Toronto team, drafting DeMar DeRozan, trading for Kyle Lowry, on and on and on. He also had the right idea of a stretch center, a stretch man at the five in Andrea Bargnani, but he was wrong. Because the next year after Ben Simmons, which he got right, he also, well, let's stay in that year. He also selected Furkan Korkmaz, who's having a nice season, and at 24, and Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot, 26, or whichever ones, whatever order they were in, they were both 24 and 26. Malcolm Brogdon goes 34. Pascal Siakam goes 27, right? And I'm saying this to say that you had two other chances to add depth to your team, and you fail. Furkan Korkmaz, yes, is a bench player that's helping you out a little bit, but we wanted Malcolm Brogdon in the offseason. Most Sixer fans did, with the nice contract that he got from the Indiana Pacers. Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot is now on, I believe, his third team after leaving the 76ers, about to pick up a second 10-day contract with the Brooklyn Nets, while Malcolm Brogdon is on the tip of the tongue all-star for the Eastern Conference with how he's performing for the Indiana Pacers, with no Victor Oladipo, along with Domantas Sabonis, and how well they're playing. And then the next year, we all know the big one that really could change the course of the franchise. Who knows? Because other things have happened with Elton Brand now as the general manager, and the same with Brett Brown as the acting general manager. That one offseason 2018 draft, where Markelle Fultz is, after you trade from 3 to 1, you trade the Sacramento pick to move up to number one, you select Markelle Fultz. Jason Tatum might be an all-star this year. And while it's good to see Markelle Fultz get himself back on track, once again, a key piece that you could have had. And then the ultimate, of course, the burner account that just threw everything off with how things went. So for me, my biggest disappointment is Brian Colangelo moving in and taking over for Sam Hinkie as the shot caller for the 76ers in the front office, because there was not much right that he did while in office. And once again, a big, big disappointment with him as the head guy. And then the ridiculous stuff with the Twitter account that ultimately cost him his job. This is now where we are. Very excited. Thought that they would be a contender in the Eastern Conference this year. Still have a chance. They have work to do. Hey, let's see how this thing goes. So, that's what we're going to start off with. Because of the T.O. and Donovan thing sparked up yet again, let's talk about the biggest disappointment since that was a failure. It was a great thing year one. After that, it wasn't about 1 year. It was about long term for T.O. with this team, this organization, with Donovan, B. West, the defense, on and on and on. Trey Thomas. That was supposed to be something that was long term, and it was not. It was a failure. So what are some of the biggest disappointments in Philadelphia sports off of the Donovan McNabb and T.O. conversation that is now going on? And we will continue that at 8 with Joe Torti when he gets in. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing the show. We'll get his. Again, Andrew Salchunas texted me a great one. And here's the other side to it that we want to ask you as you guys call in. This should be fun. The all, in light of this, but let's veer it off a little bit with individual players and maybe even coaches, front office guys or gals. The all, I got it wrong team. Okay? The all, I got it wrong team. Where you select, give us three people that you were certain, whether it was a draft pick that ultimately did not come here, but you had your eyes on it, thought that that would work, even though they're in Tampa, and you felt that was the guy that we need, and he flamed out in Tampa. That was bad anyway. Okay, so I'll give you three to start off. Guys that I thought were going to be good. I fancy myself as a pretty good basketball GM sometimes, maybe even a football GM here on the Fanatic. And I get my fair share wrong. At the time when they were going center, center, center with the Sixers, I said, man, they need a point guard. I wanted Chris Dunn so bad out of Providence that I thought this guy was going to be great. Chris Dunn is still in Chicago, but it has not worked out well for him. Okay? So I was wrong. I thought Chris Dunn was going to be something in this league as a defensive force, a little bit of offense. But the defense is where he's going to make his money. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be Rondo-like defensively. That did not work out, and man, was I wrong. Number two, when Chip Kelly was here, I thought that with Chip Kelly, this fast-paced up-and-down offense, when I saw, even though he was a fourth-round pick, wide receiver, out of Oregon, Josh Huff, that speed, I said, damn it, if this guy is not going to be a great slot receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, man, was I wrong. And finally, and I give Mike this one, tip to Captain Mike. It's not over yet, but it looks like it might be. Second round pick, Achilles injury, drafting a guy out of the University of Washington, 2017 NFL draft. Man, was I wrong thinking it was the right thing to take Sidney Jones because that was going to work out. It did not. It has not. They still need corners. 610-632-0975. So my biggest disappointment, Brian Colangelo taking over as general manager for the 76ers. And my three, all I got it wrong team. Josh Huff, Sidney Jones, and Chris Dunn. What about you guys? 610-632-0975. Let's have a good time tonight. Joe Torti will be in at 8. I'll be hanging around until 10. We'll share the 8 to 10 o'clock hours together. But we're solo with you guys until then. 610-632-0975. We'll hear from Josh Rabick and get his. He's already told me what it is, and it is a very good one. Let's start things off on the phones in South Philly with Will here on 97.5. What's up, Will?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. This conversation just brought up bad feelings again, but it's cool, man.
Hey, Donovan and T.O. started it.
Well, you know, I really think with Donovan, it just, T.O. got under his skin when he said he threw up and the whole no I didn't thing, then the video comes out.
Yeah.
But that's a conversation for another time.
We'll get to that later on this evening, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, but one of my biggest disappointments would be with Elton Brand.
Which Elton Brand? Which one?
Well, both. When he was playing for us, he played nothing like he did when he was with the Clippers.
Yes.
And
he came off the ACL from the Clippers. We remember that.
right. So I mean
the Achilles. Sorry, the Achilles.
How is he so beloved here now that, you know, you can move him into a general manager's position? I mean, I really don't understand how Philly does things. Like, they're looking all over Deuce Daly, and I don't know. But Elton Brand's been a big disappointment with me, and I thought we had something with Brett Brown when we picked up him.
Are you talking about from the very beginning you felt like Brett Brown was the right guy and it would play? Well, listen, and in the case for Brett Brown, even though I've never been the biggest fan, I give him this credit, he's had two back-to-back 50-win seasons. When we saw them as a 28-win team and they jumped from 28 to 52. So right. It depends on what you're looking at when it comes to Brett Brown and the overall analysis of him as a coach.
Well, you know, my thing is, I'm looking at production. It's like with Andy Reid, he's not a favorite in my book because we didn't win. Winning a NFC championship, that's all fine and well, but winning everything is what counts to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just me. I want it all. I'm Philly. I'm tired of losing. I'm
yes.
tired of getting close. I want the big game.
I hear you, man. Listen, thanks for the call. Elton Brand to start things off for Will in South Philly. And Will goes with Elton Brand as a player and general manager. I'll say this as a player. Yes, a disappointment coming off the injury. Signing him to the big contract as the free agent. My guys, no longer here. I think it was... Yeah, it was framed, what, the Philly Max, I think they called it, with Elton Brand when he got the $78 million. Comes in right away. Already not 100% yet, but good enough to start the season. And then early on in that campaign, falls on the shoulder. Falls on the shoulder. Going up for a block. It was a ball fake. Comes down on the player's body. They, you know, he falls trying to protect himself. He lands on the shoulder right there, dislocated shoulder, I think it was. He was never himself. Elton Brand was never himself as a player, unfortunately, because of the injuries when he signed that Philly Max for 5 years, $78 million, I believe, at that time. 610-632-0975. So it's just that easy. Donovan, T.O., we got a great 1 year, led to a Super Bowl appearance. We thought that was just, hey, that's just a taste. We're going to get this every season. It was not. That was it. That was the only taste we got, and unfortunately, it did not work out. A huge disappointment as a Philadelphia Eagle fan in the city and around the country, wherever you guys are as Philly fans. What's the biggest disappointment for you off of the Donovan T.O. arguing again, like two guys in a relationship that they cannot let it go? 610-632-0975, plus your three all I got it wrong team. Mine, Josh Huff, Sidney Jones, and Chris Dunn. Bad GMing by me. What about you? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. Joe Torti in at 8 right here on The Fanatic. The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Joe Torti will be in at 8. Josh Rabick producing the show. 610-632-0975. We'll get Josh. We'll get Josh before we go, because Nate coming up, Kevin, Aaron, John, Stan, Dave, you guys, 610-632-0975. So let's go to Josh real quick. Josh, what is yours? Because you had a great one, and we can play off of some yours with some of the other people as well. What is your biggest disappointment, and then your three all-time I got it wrong players?
Okay, so my biggest disappointment, I am going to have to go Chip Kelly.
Ooh.
Yeah, just following him at Oregon, and then when you see the big Washington game to start off the season, there was so much evidence going in that he had something going his way, and then you see it proven at the next level with the pieces, with the mobile quarterback like Vic, the deep option in DeSean Jackson, and then you also have LeSean McCoy. So I thought that was going to be something that was going to work for quite some time.
Yeah, and everybody was upset when they moved on from those two players. Not everybody, because some people bought into the stuff off the field, and he was wrong, you know. But anyway, yeah, that was a bad one. We thought that that offense and turning things around, that speed in today's, and nobody's going to take a while for people to figure it out. Well, they picked it up pretty quickly.
And I think he was onto something, because when you pick up a first down, when you hurry back to the line and you run the draw, then it's a lot more effective. When a defense gets a chance to huddle and you start off from them coming from the sidelines, they're rested, and then you want to run a draw out of the gun with no momentum, unfortunately, that's not a good strategy.
Up-tempo, it works, but did not work for Chip.
No.
He's now in college and not doing too hot. Your three players before we get back to the phones, what do you got?
Yeah, so one is going to be Gavin Floyd, who was coming up through the farm system, who obviously was traded, and that was a guy who we were banking on was going to be the ace of the future. Turned out not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah, number two was a guy the Eagles did not draft, who I was high on. His pops was a really good ball player, but I thought Kellen Winslow Jr. was going to be that dynamic tight end when you watched him with the Miami Hurricanes. It felt like nobody could cover him during his collegiate career, and I thought he was going to translate extremely well. And the third player I'm going to use actually was an established player, but I was not expecting the foot and ankle injuries that were about to come his way, and that's Peter Forsberg when the Flyers acquired him after the 2004-2005 lockout.
Okay, great ones, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. It's just that easy, guys. Friday, we'll have some fun. We'll talk about this thing because T.O. and Donovan, yeah, they're annoying people yet again. 610-632-0975. It's 15 years later. Why are you guys still doing this? I mean, come on. Let's go to Nate in Southwest on 97.5. Nate, what's happening?
What's up, bro? How you?
Oh, doing all right, man.
Man, all right. Let's just get to it. What was the first question?
First question off of the T.O. and Donovan disappointment. What's one of the biggest disappointment in Philadelphia sports for you?
Listen, man, for me, and it's just me, people might be like, well, who
for
is
you?
That?
For you.
Yeah, right. But back in the day, the Sixers was really needing a power forward, and we really needed a power forward, and then we drafted one that I thought was going to be okay, but turned out to be a bust. You remember Sherron Wright?
Why, as soon as you said a power forward, I was like, watch you go Clemson and go Sherron Wright.
Yeah, bro.
And wasn't he picked at like number six?
Yes, bro, yes.
Now I got to pull up the draft. Keep going. Yes.
In that draft, and I'm like, oh, man, we got a good one from Clemson. And look, bro, he played, what, a year and a half, and that was it? You never seen him again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, bro.
Yeah, that was a 1994 NBA draft, man.
And it was a horrible disappointment for me, man, because I thought we had a good power forward coming in here, man, and that didn't happen for us. So, yeah, I was really disappointed in that draft.
Yeah, so Sherron Wright was taken sixth overall. I was correct. Behind him, you had the likes of what's most important here? I mean, I'll just give you a couple right behind him. Lamon Murray, Brian Grant, Eric Montrose. This is where it really hurts you. Eddie Jones at 10.
I would have took you.
And Jalen Rose at...
Aaron McKee was somewhere in there.
Jalen Rose was 13.
Uh-huh.
Aaron McKee, 17.
I would have took all three. I didn't even took... Who you say was right behind him?
Lamon Murray went to the Clippers. Yep.
No, you say somebody else.
Brian Grant. Yeah, as power forward. Brian Grant, yeah.
Absolutely, had longevity. Xavier, I would have took him.
Yep.
So my three things that I'm.
I got it wrong. Team three people.
All right, so listen real fast. You already said one, Sidney Jones, right?
Okay.
But these dudes been listen. The Eagles has been looking for these guys for the a cornerback since we lost Asante Samuel.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So now you got Sidney Jones is a bust to me. I don't care what nobody say. Then you got. You brought in Maxwell from Seattle was a bust to me.
Wow, but didn't make it. Yeah, but did you think he was actually going to be good?
I listen.
You bought into it.
Had with Seattle
all right,
before,
okay.
I thought he was going to come in and do some things.
All right,
and then you had Nabi Asma that just went and sat in Aiton's car 8 legs.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, dog. So three. We haven't got a cornerback since Asante Samuel's left, and it's still and we still struggling at that. At that situation, man, they got to get it together.
Yeah, they got to get it. Hey, great start, man. Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Nate. Really appreciate that. I never liked the Byron Maxwell thing because I just thought that he was playing for the Seattle Seahawks and I didn't think he was that good because he played with everyone else. And he was terrible. He was terrible. And he went with Sidney Jones as well. 610-632-0975. Man, Sherron Wright. Yeah, Sherron Wright. Terrible. How long did he last? He played a few years with the Sixers, 94 to 96, 96 to 98 with the Raptors, and then he was gone. gone. Let's go back to the phones. He was second team all rookie his 95 year. But that was Michael Carter Williams did the same thing. Kevin in Norristown next on the Fanatic. Kev.
Hey, what's up, Demond? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What's happening with you?
Great show, great show. Just Friday night trying to get my weekend started.
Absolutely. But, so we keep it light for you tonight.
There you go. So my biggest disappointment is Sam Hinkie, and I get very irritated with this process thing. I hated it during the whole thing, and here's why.
Okay.
The way the six. First of all, we became, and I say we, I mean Sixer fans. We were kind of cheering for Sam Hinkie as if he was a player. The GM is not. He's supposed to be in the background. We're not supposed to hear from him. Make your moves. Do what you need to do. But everybody and we cheered for a cliche. You can't cheer for a team off a cliche. We act like we were the only team in the NBA. All these other squads were doing big moves around us, drafting really good players, doing their research. We were drafting players during that time to, quote, unquote, collect assets. Mm. How are you going to draft three centers in a row? That makes no sense. If you think about the Iverson team, they put a squad around him, and we made it to the NBA final till we ran into Shaq and Kobe. But that was a team. We built a team around him with draft picks and also with some trades. But I believe, in my opinion, and this squad might get it together and make it to the NBA final this year. But I just did not like that era in terms of how we lifted Sam Hinkie up. I don't want to know who the GM is. I want to see the good moves he makes. But I don't want to be at the game and people saying trust the process. That irritated me to no end. But anyway,
yeah, okay, just, Sam Hinkie, got it, Sam Hinkie. So what's your three? All I got it wrong.
I got it wrong with Don Brown. For the Phillies.
Mm.
He was hyped up to be.
I was with you.
Yeah, I was on board. Like, oh man, Don Brown, he's gonna be the next.
And he made the All Star team. You're like, oh, he's coming around. It's about to happen. And then it did not happen. Go ahead, continue.
Never happened. Now, I like this player. I still like him now, but I had him hyped up more than what he was, and that's Michael Carter Williams.
Not me, man.
Yeah, I still like him. I'll be honest with you. He's not a starting point guard in this league, not at all. But with his length and ability to defend and come off the bench and help out, not a starting point guard. Yeah. And I was wrong about him when he was here.
What's your final one?
And I had my last one. Who was my last one? Slipping my mind.
That's
so I'm
right.
Gonna let you move on to the next.
No
next
problem.
Caller.
But those are good ones, Kev. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate the call, Don Brown. I said that one to Josh a little bit earlier. I said Don Brown was one that for some reason, not for some reason, you saw it. You could see it was, oh man, this dude can do everything. And it did not work out. 610-632-0975. T.O. Donovan back at it again, going at each other's necks. And we're involved as it comes back up and it makes us think about the Super Bowl yet again, especially with Andy Reid and it next week with the Chiefs. So your biggest, that was a disappointment. What's your personal biggest disappointment in Philadelphia sports? Plus three, all I got it wrong team. We just got Nnamdi Maxwell and Sidney Jones for Nate. Kev went with Don Brown and MCW. We're asking you for yours. 610-632-0975 right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
647 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti in at 8. Josh Rabick along with us here. 610-632-0975. A trade in the NBA. Minor, but could mean something with Josh Powell injured. The versatile forward center for Dwight Powell for the Dallas Mavericks. Tore his Achilles, I think it was yesterday or Wednesday, tore his Achilles, he's out for the season. So the Golden State Warriors are now sending Willie Cauley-Stein to the Dallas Mavericks to help them out in that regard and picking up a center situation going on there for the Dallas Mavericks. Not that it's the Sixers going after Willie Cauley-Stein, just letting people know once again that the trade deadline is on February the 6th. And while Powell is out for the season, Josh Richardson will be reevaluated in approximately 2 weeks. Wonder what the Sixers are going to do. 610-632-0975. And I think Justin Patton is also on his way to Dallas. Shams is saying Dallas is trading Isaiah Roby to Oklahoma City for Justin Patton in cash consideration. So, yeah, they pick up two big men in Willie Cauley-Stein and Justin Patton, the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, they're making their run in the West. Luka is having a fantastic year. Kristaps Porzingis is the stretch big. So they wanted some more live, active bodies, athletic bodies to fill that void for the time being. 610-632-0975. Let's head back to the phones. John in Fort Washington next on 97.5. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. Good. I'm a lot older than most of your callers, but I think I have a pretty unique one.
Okay.
1964, I was at Franklin Field to an Eagles game the day the Phillies blew their 10-game lead and lost a pennant to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah, the collapse.
I mean, they announced it. It was the loudest groan I ever heard. The stadium just went limp.
Everyone was of the belief that they were going to get it done, huh?
It's just one game.
Yeah, I know. One game, right.
It was amazing. I was there. I saw it.
Yeah, obviously that's one that a lot of people talk about, and you certainly, John, know way more than I do. But yeah, hey man, there's so many legendary things in this city that date far back, and you know, and that's definitely one of them that even someone like me who may not have seen it certainly knows about it.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame you guys don't go back a little farther. Sometimes there's really some interesting stuff in Philly, like the greatest team, the A's.
Yeah, well,
and it's a 5 World Series.
Yeah, sometimes those things come up in passing, maybe not be a theme of the show because it's kind of tough where there may not be enough people to actually talk about it. But you know what it means.
Left.
Yeah, right. I hear you. But hey, I'm glad you were able to bring it up to us, John. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks.
You got
it. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, man. 610-632-0975. Stan in Philly next on the Fanatic. Hey, Stan, how you doing? Yo, hello. Stan, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm here. First, I wanted to talk about my biggest disappointment.
Yes.
And that was with Andrew Bynum.
Oh, see?
First, I got him. Yeah, I thought he would take us over the top.
You're right along with Andrew Souchunas, man. Right along with Andrew Souchunas.
Yeah. It's crazy, man, because the fact that we even got him from the Lakers was a surprise. That should have let you know right there something was wrong with him. But other than that, I think my top three who I thought would probably pan out was one, MCW. You know, when him winning Rookie of the Year, I thought he would probably be a triple-double threat throughout his career. That obviously didn't happen. And who was that? I didn't have too many. We had a young pitcher on the Phillies back after we won the World Series. I thought he would be pretty good. I think his name was AJ or JA or something like that.
JA Hat?
Yeah, I believe he was a prospect that was slated to be pretty good. One of those young pitchers that I thought would help us out and put us over the top, you know, after our pitching core was getting kind of old.
Uh-huh.
But that they traded him, and that never seemed to pan out. I think those were my only two as far as, like, the three players I thought would probably pan out.
Nah, that's cool, man. And real fast, what was it about MCW that you really felt that he would blossom into that player?
Well, because the numbers he was putting up, you know, in college, and then they also seemed to transition into the NBA his first year, you know, because he was averaging like 16-7-5. Those are pretty good numbers for a rookie. You would think if somebody build upon that, they're going to be pretty good for their career. But he just kind of like tanked after that. I mean... I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, he tanked because he wasn't good.
I guess so. Putting up good numbers on a bad team.
Exactly, and the Sixers didn't really help out the case because they would leave him out there. Stan, thanks so much, man. Appreciate the call. They would leave him out there for all these minutes and blowouts just because they wanted him. They wanted some good publicity, and they wanted him to win Rookie of the Year. So they will allow him to just stat pad at that point. You know, pad those stats. Get those numbers higher. Get him up there. And that's what he did. But at the end of the day, with everything that was going on here, you know, padding the stats and really not being that good, it ultimately hurt him because he felt this entitlement that we talk about now with Simmons and Embiid. He felt this entitlement and thought he was better than he really was. That also goes to his family because I call it, you know me, I call it like it is. And his family was right there along for the ride and telling him everything that he needed to hear. Tell him everything that he needed to hear. And didn't help him. Didn't help him at all. 610-632-0975. Listen, Dave, Gary, Brian, Aaron, two people dropped. So if you guys want to call in, 610-632-0975. Dave, get you first on the other side because we're going to take this break. I want to give everyone their time. We have 25 minutes commercial free on the other side. So I want to give everyone their shot to talk about the biggest disappointment and your three for your all I got it wrong team. And we'll tell you ours, Josh Rabick and myself, when we get back. 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hours brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens right here on the Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
Seven o'clock, 97.5. The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens here with you until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti will be in at 8, 610-632-0975. We'll keep the conversation moving because T.O., right? Donovan going back at it publicly, where they're biting at each other's backs again, talking about what happened in 2005 at the Super Bowl, and then after that for the 2005 season. And then T.O. goes right back at Donovan. Says, you know what? Did you tell him about what happened at the parties at my house? Oh, you didn't? I'll tell him. See, now we're getting really personal. Now we're getting really personal. T.O., nobody wanted to know about that. Come on. Anyway, that's where we are. They're backbiting yet again. So, guys, we wanted to simply talk to you about, you know, disappointments. Because that was a huge disappointment that we only got one season of spectacular football with those two guys connecting out there on the football field, winning championships, right? That's what we want, Super Bowls. We didn't get it. So what's the biggest disappointment for you in Philadelphia sports? Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. I'll give you mine once again really fast. Biggest disappointment was Brian Colangelo as the GM taking over. Did not do good enough. And my three people were asking you for, since we're talking disappointments, your all I got it wrong team. Just gives three of anything local, any type of connection that you thought would work. I had Sidney Jones. I thought Sidney Jones would be fantastic. Josh Huff, I thought he would be something as a fourth round pick with that speed coming out of Oregon under Chip Kelly, right, here in Philadelphia. And Chris Dunn, I had Chris Dunn being a phenomenal point guard in this league. Defensive problem. He still plays good defense. Offense never translated into the NBA, and he's been a disappointment for the season. So, I mean, for his career. 610-632-0975. So we keep it moving on the phones. We'll get Josh Rabick again. Let's start off with Dave next on the Fanatic. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Devon. Love listening to you.
Thank you.
Great show.
Appreciate it.
I actually called to talk about McNabb, but in honor of your theme, I wanted to
You can contribute. Talk about McNabb, too. Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks. So my three, I'm going to double up on Bynum. I'm going to go with Ilya Brizgalov of the Flyers, and then I'm going to throw a reverse in there, somebody who we let go but turned out to be great. A long time ago, the Philadelphia Flyers let Justin Williams go, and that turned out to be a big mistake.
All he did was go win everywhere. Win.
Everywhere.
Win.
Mr. Game 7.
Win.
Yep. As far as disappointments go, I actually bought a T-shirt for this. It says, I got 99 problems, but a pitch ain't one. It was the four aces for the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah, and they had that year where they win all those games, and of course we know how it happened. They did not get to the World Series and win at all. Nope.
Yeah,
tough.
Big disappointment there.
Big disappointment.
about McNabb, there's a lot to say here. You may not be very happy with me about this, but I always kind of felt like one thing I do really respect him for, and it might be the last thing I respect him for, is the way he handled the Rush Limbaugh situation, mm-hmm. where he rose above it. He did not come back at him directly. He didn't respond to it, which I thought was the right move. You know, he didn't want to dignify that, you know, with any kind of a reply. But I feel like the wrong message you walked away from with that is that every situation should be handled that way. And in reality, a leader handles every situation individually. With T.O., he had a very unique personality there. He should have known that with this guy, this is not a guy you just walk away from and it fixes itself and somebody else will take care of it. As the captain of this ship that he liked to call himself, he should have taken him into a room and say, look, let's talk this out. Let's figure this out, because we have two great skill sets. And I'll never forget, remember that year where they started off great and then they got hammered in Pittsburgh and T.O. was chasing McNabb up and down the sidelines and McNabb didn't want to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, if you're a leader, you address this, you talk to him, you work through it. And that's the difference between a leader.
And then they show when they were in Cleveland, when they hugged it out and, you know, they acted like they were going to fight again, you know, the discipline, you know, and all that, but they hugged it out. So we thought everything was cool and we know what happened. Right. At the end of the day, my only thing with that, Dave, listen, man, thanks for the call. Great stuff. Appreciate the kind words. The only thing with that is I thought that while Donovan could have, of course, handled that better, why is T.O. bringing Donovan in it? Why is he bringing it public? Why is he making it public? What for? That's not going to help out your situation just because you're going to try to put pressure on McNabb to speak publicly and help your contract situations. The thing is, right, we always hear guys do not talk about other players' money. Stay out of money. Then, in T.O.'s tweet back to Donovan this week, he says, did you tell him about you backing for Brian Westbrook and getting his contract? T.O., yeah, we knew about that then. We knew that back then. Why? Because maybe Donovan, number one, he and B. West are close. Number two, not that I've talked to B. West about it, because I've actually never asked him about that. How about that? But number two, maybe he learned from the situation and said, you know what? Maybe I was a little bit wrong. So let me back my other guy who deserves to get a contract extension. And they did it. Why? Because they didn't make it public like you did. Aaron in Lancaster next on the Fanatic. Aaron, what's up?
Hey, Devon, what's going on, man?
What's happening?
First time, long time.
Good to hear from you.
So, and I'll definitely say that I'm an Eagles fan, and believe it or not, I actually really like soccer, the Union.
Yeah.
I'm probably the only listener that does. But probably the biggest disappointment was a sport that I'm on the cusp of loving.
Okay.
But I loved it when it happened, and it was Ryan Howard and his injury.
Wow. Yeah,
for me, that whole era was it was such fun. Like to me, baseball, like average baseball or bad baseball, it's not fun to watch. But good baseball is a blast. And when it's homegrown good baseball, I mean, I was all about the World Series when it happened. But once Ryan Howard got that injury, you know, I think not only did it affect his career, we thought he was going to be, you know, in a top 10 all time in home runs at that point. You know, but it also,
so is it, you know, more, so you're saying his career disappointment or just the overall, the lack of championships? What is it?
You know, it's more his career. And I think it's related to the championships. I mean, he was such a big piece of the World Series that when he got injured, like you couldn't rely on him anymore. And the whole team just kind of almost collapsed. So, you know, I think it's like a dual effect, you know, and be honest with you, I really haven't embrace baseball since. It's just kind of just okay baseball, you know? And I'm just waiting for that time where I can get back in there and see homegrown talent and see good baseball, but it's not here yet, you know? So
wow.
I do think that Ryan Howard had a lot to do with it. I mean, you know, with my love for baseball and during that time.
Wow, that's crazy, because I look at it, and yes, while his career did not finish the way we thought, it's still someone that we talk about very fondly, where his number, you know, retired here in Philadelphia, right? The Wall of Fame and all of that stuff. And that's just a place where, that's a tough one, man, because I always thought that Ryan Howard took too much heat here in the city.
Yeah. But the heat that he took, I mean, I don't think it was warranted, but he was such a big part of that lineup because he was such a superstar.
Without
for
question.
Those 4 years. He was like the best slugger in baseball.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, and that's why I felt like a lot of times he took too much heat.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I did. Yeah, man. Give us your three on your way out.
So, you know, three, I can't claim to be a big basketball guy, but you got to go Markel Fultz.
You
know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people, I mean, more about the hype than me thinking that he'd be great, but the hype behind him was just crazy.
Yep.
I'm going to go, you know, another homer, Freddie Mitchell, since we're on the McNabb.
Wow, Freddie Mitchell. So you thought Freddie was going to be one of those top receivers in the league?
Maybe not top receiver.
Or just for the Birds. Yeah, somebody.
Just a good for the Eagles and could be that piece that the Eagles can count on and build around for the future. You know, a good wide receiver that, you know, maybe a good number two, but he wasn't even a number three or four. And the last one is actually McNabb related, and it's Ricky Williams. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
and that's a great one to kind of spin it off, man. Thanks so much, Aaron. Good stuff,
you
man. Good
it.
To hear from you. Because the Ricky Williams thing, we all know the draft. Ricky Williams, we thought maybe the Eagles should take him, and Andy Reid, great call. He went with the quarterback, Ricky Williams. That's pretty. Well, that's a nice one out of the box thinking. Because while it is a national sports thing, it is also tied to the Philadelphia Eagles with that draft. Ricky Williams. And I thought he was I was there. I was like, yes, take Ricky Williams and go get your quarterback. Do what you need to do. Andy Reid said, nope. We'll take the quarterback. We know what happened. And the rest is history. 610-632-0975. Ryan Howard. Always a soft spot for people on both sides. Ryan Howard. Because, I mean, that he was great. When he was healthy, he was great. When he got hurt, the Achilles, he was done. It's just that simple. He was never the same. And I am one who thinks he takes too much heat. He strikes out too much. No, yeah, that's what sluggers do. We're not mad when he's banging out 56 home runs, are we? Winning MVP. We're not mad at that. Brian in Plymouth meeting next on the Fanatic. What's up, B?
Yo, D. Oh, if only Ryan Howard hadn't turned his ankle at second base.
If only.
And then the cortisone shot, and then that was that.
Yep, that was it.
But you know what? And people had that so twisted, too. Like, he made the Phillies so much money before he ever signed that contract. The money, it wasn't their money.
He earned that money.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. So, people I was wrong about, just a second, other people, Chip Kelly, Namdi, and Dominic Brown. I just threw out my Dominic Brown jersey when I was moving earlier this year.
Wow.
I had it before he ever made his major league hit.
Oh, man. Chip Kelly. I think we were getting a lot of Chip Kelly tonight, and I want to hear from everybody who wants Chip Kelly because I want to know why you thought he was going to be great. Why did you think Chip Kelly was going to be that guy?
Well, I mean, I thought it was going to be the departure of Reed not being a good game day coach, where Chip seemed like he was super smart and everything
together.
Was lightning fast and whatever. He just found out that he couldn't deal with people at all.
Yeah, he was terrible at that.
As a coach.
Yeah. You kind of need that quality.
So with Donovan and T.O., I just wanted to kind of remind everybody of this. I mean, Donovan, every time he opens his mouth, he just sticks his foot in his mouth.
I know. And I try to help him out, and I cannot do it.
But management put him in such a bad position. People always forget that T.O. had that crazy contract situation where his agent kind of screwed up, but didn't screw up, and then it went to arbitration. And
you talking about the facts?
Yeah, where he had this clause in his contract where he didn't have to, file by the free agency deadline.
And
everybody
never faxed it in. Yep.
Well, but the arbiter was going to rule in T.O.'s favor, which is why the Ravens basically, they basically traded him to the Eagles where he wanted to go. But the Eagles paid him 60% of what they would have paid him as a free agent. And then the next year, all he wanted was for them to just guarantee the under-below-market contract they already had.
Totally agree. So
Yeah, and Joe Banner just had to win, like, every negotiation. Like, that guy went out and played the Super Bowl on a broken leg.
Yep.
Like, come on, man.
And that's why I was saying, that's not on Donovan. T.O. shouldn't be doing that publicly. Donovan may have went behind the scenes and said something. We didn't need that publicly, man. And then all of a sudden, here we go, and now we have 15 years later, and they're still talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You know
I'm with you.
You know T.O. is crazy. So, like, I'm
yes.
saying, like, not you, but the Eagles management. Like, you know what you're dealing with here. Just make the guy, just guarantee the contract. Like, who cares? Whatever. That was so nuts. It was so dumb. That was just, like, Joe Banner just kind of got drunk on his own cap management power, and it ended up basically he did the same thing to Dawkins on the way out the door.
Yep.
I mean, that was unforgivable.
That was ridiculous, man. And with those, did you have one, the big disappointment?
My big disappointment was when Ed Stefanski pulled the save your job, safe draft pick move of taking Evan Turner over DeMarcus Cousins.
Over DeMarcus Cousins.
And not even based on results. It's just like, on the 40% chance that you have this franchise big man, like, you take that guy because on those 2 out of 5 times, you are rolling at that point.
And here's where I was wrong on that one. I was wrong on that one. So this can kind of go into the all I was wrong team, because I thought that they had to do the right thing by playing it safe, because all the things that we heard about DeMarcus Cousins, we talk about T.O., that he was crazy. And I was like, you know what? You can't go there. And I may have been wrong on that, just like I might have been wrong on the Michael Porter thing with his back, and he could be helping the Sixers, all kinds of stuff. Hey, B, thanks for the... Well, hey, I mean, listen, he's doing what he's doing. We'll talk. We'll definitely talk, man. 610-632-0975. I was wrong with the Evan Turner thing. I liked Evan Turner. I still like Evan Turner for what he is, right? Still like him for what he is. But when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins and drafting and him being there with Elton Brand, you should have taken DeMarcus Cousins as Stefanski. I just thought that all the stuff that kept coming back about his, we saw him at Kentucky and he had this big attitude problem. Even Calipari had issues with him. But man, was he good in Sacramento. And maybe he would have change things that, with a team that was already a playoff team, where the Sacramento Kings, of course, not. Hey, that's a good one right there from Brian in Plymouth Meeting. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick here with you until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti will be in about 45 minutes to jump in on the conversations, and we'll get a little deeper into the McNabb T.O. conversation as well. 610-632-0975. We haven't even gone to Twitter. I'll get some of the tweets that we had sent in to us as well as the night goes along. Right now, we go to Delaware and check in with Gary on the Fanatic. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Devon. How's your evening going?
Oh, it's going well, man. Good conversations with these great people.
So, my two disappointments are, you know, we got rid of Andy Reid. He couldn't do time management, and he could only win when he had a bye week. So when Chip Kelly was going to be the offensive savior, you know, he's going to run a lot of plays. He's going to be quick. The more plays you run, the more points you're going to score. But he didn't realize that in the NFL, I don't think those players are young enough and fast enough to hold up endurance-wise to the plans and the schemes that he had.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
he was just a big disappointment. He's supposed to be the smart, offensive-minded coach, you know, younger.
And the way we saw it early, Gary, we thought, oh, man, this is going to be something. And I remember, Gary, I was producing on a weekend at that time, and one of the guys I was producing for, Mike Gill in Atlantic City, he was here on the weekend doing a show when he had Antonio Pierce, the former Giants linebacker, on, right? And yep. Antonio Pierce was like, yeah, this is cool and all, but they're going to figure this out in about 2 more games. And I'm like, they're not going to figure it out that fast. And lo and behold, what happens? They figured him out, Gary.
Yeah, he called it.
They figured him out.
Yep.
Yeah, so what do you have what do you have for the all I got it wrong people for you?
On the 76ers side, Sean Bradley, he was a second overall pick. He came out after a year.
Did you think he was going to be good?
I thought he was going to be good. You know, he's, I don't know, what was he, 7'2"?
7'6".
7'6", okay. you know, he just needed to put on a little weight so he could, you know, post up against people, and he just never panned out.
Right, yeah, and, you know, it was crazy, man, about Sean Bradley, and that was a name that I talked to Josh Rabick about. Gary, thanks so much for the call, man. We're always going to remember that because it was Penny or Weber. If the Golden State Warriors were simply going to trade Chris Weber for Penny Hard, I mean, trade for Chris Weber from the Orlando Magic, you take either one of them, Weber or Penny Hardaway, for your 76ers. You just do. Sean Bradley? Who was that? John Nash? Was that John Nash who drafted? I believe it was John. I don't know John Nash. Never met him. Always like watching him on TV when he was doing pre and post or whatever he was doing. You can't take Sean Bradley. Cannot. And I believe we'll get a lot of Chip Kelly because we're going to Nick in New Jersey with another Chip Kelly, I believe. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
What's happening?
All right, man. I want to say my first disappointment is Nnamdi Asamoah.
That's the third one we've gotten of Nnamdi. Continue.
My biggest disappointment was Chip Kelly. I feel that Chip Kelly really hurt the fan base for what he did. And I was a huge Andy Reid fan. I don't feel that Andy Reid was appreciated. I don't feel that Donovan McNabb was appreciated. And if you really look, and my third disappointment, it's not even going to be one specific player. It's going to be, I guess you would say, management, mm-hmm. You know, because Donovan never played with a top tier wide receiver until he had T.O.
Right.
And I wish, this is what I wish, you know, sometimes, you know, if the player is worth it, and T.O. is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, give him some life coach or something, somebody that can just pull him by the ear, pull him to the, and cool him out, you know, because we needed his talent. We kept him. We could have went back to the Super Bowl. And we let him go just because he, you know, he's a sensitive guy. That's all it was. He's sensitive. You know, Antonio Brown, I think that's a different situation.
Yeah.
You know, I hear CTE, and hopefully he can get help with that. But, you know, I think Ben Simmons needs a coach, a personal coach. Because Ben Simmons, everybody wants to talk about his three-point shot. Look at everything he does do. We're looking at the one thing he doesn't do, which is shoot the ball. But how many point guards are 6'10 and blocking shots and leading the league in steals? You know, and he has a nice sky hook. I just want him to be more aggressive. And you can coach him into doing that. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, so I hear you. I hear you on that one, yeah. Man. Yeah, so give us your three.
My third is overall, I would say, you know, the GMs and the owners.
Yeah, so you go at them all together. Okay.
Right now. Carson Wentz. There are these three, and I haven't heard.
Carson Wentz. What about Carson Wentz?
There were three games at least that went down as losses that should have been wins. And he threw game-winning touchdown passes that would drop. They hit the wide receiver in the numbers. They hit the wide receiver in the hands. And they dropped him. The end of the game, he would have won. Give him some top-tier wide receivers. I don't care what you have to do. Give him somebody. Give him two people that can catch the ball, and we'll make it to the Super Bowl. We'll be competitive.
Yeah, well, listen, Nick, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. I'm not going with the Carson Wentz thing. No need, right? No need for the Carson Wentz thing at all. Not a disappointment yet. He's just not. He's been injured. The team won a Super Bowl. He helped lead them to that spot. Not a disappointment. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines for the first time. Two open lines since we got underway at 6 o'clock. Pat will be first. Will, Anthony. And I see another one right here and that's calling him. So we have two open phone lines if you want to check in and jump in on the conversation. 610-632-0975. We'll get Josh Rabick again, and we'll hear from Joe Torti at 8 o'clock when he steps in here. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. We're here until 10 on The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
So, you know, sometimes you just have to say, you know what? I was wrong. Accountability. That's what we talk about with Simmons and Embiid and Brett Brown holding his star players accountable. Well, maybe we need to look ourselves and look at ourselves in the mirror as well and say, you know what? I need to hold myself accountable for that terrible take that I had as a general manager, believing that Josh Huff was going to be a good football player. Like me. Yes, I'm ashamed to admit it. I thought Josh Huff with that speed would do something. Devon Gibbs is with you here on The Fanatic until 10 o'clock, 610-632-0975. And Josh, before we get to Pat, Will, Anthony, and Dave, and everybody else, real quick, your three, once again, we already know Chip Kelly was your main disappointment. Your three, man, I got those wrong.
Yeah, Kellen Winslow Jr. never quite lived up to the name of his pops. Wasn't quite the same player as he was in college.
And he's in super hot water right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Gavin Floyd. Yeah, I mean, everyone thought big things from him as a prospect for the Phillies. We know his baseball, sometimes it just doesn't turn out. And then Peter Forsberg, the guy that was linked to Eric Lindros, wouldn't trade those years for anything. But I thought we were getting a second chance, and it was going to be more promising than that one season with him paired with Gagne.
Now, why did you think he was going to be? Because it wasn't all on him, maybe?
Well, also, Peter Forsberg...
Just blending in with what was already here.
Right. So, Peter Forsberg was that type of player where he has a skill set where it ages well, where even though when you get on the other side of 30, you think with that vision, something that, right. that Gretzky had, that little something you can't talk about. Never sure. quite Gretzky, but there was this greatness with his vision that you thought it was going to last for a while.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that's your list. Chip Kelly is the main guy as we talk disappointments with Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens going at it once again. We did not get enough of Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens on the field after the 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, And that was it. We were disappointed after that. 610-632-0975. We keep it moving on the phones. Joe Torti will be in at 8. Pat and Bluebell next on the Fanatic. Pat.
How are you this fine Friday evening? You know,
doing all right.
I think I understood disappointment in Philadelphia sports. I think that's what you were indicating.
Yeah. So, again, the disappointment of McNabb and T.O., we never got enough of them, and that was a disappointment. So what big disappointment in Philadelphia sports was there for you? I started off with, I thought Brian Colangelo would be a good general manager and taking over as they had the rebuild, Sam Hinkie moving on. I thought it would be pretty good. It turned out not so great.
Well, you know, I had two quick incidents, and hopefully this fits in the category.
Sure.
The 78 Eagles lost to the Falcons in the playoffs because of a field goal, extra point. And as a result, the next year, they drafted a guy named Tony Franklin, one of the first without a shoe to kick.
Mm.
And that was so devastating for a lot of fans. And this was the Eagles in the playoffs. 77 Sixers losing to the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah. What were you up? Were you up 3-1?
2-0.
And
they lost to Bill Walton. We had McGinnis and Mix, et cetera. Those two things just jump off the board to fill off your frustration. But, you know, as far as players, you know, Okafor, I was wrong. Okafor, I just thought he was can't miss. You got a post player, you got a big guy. I'm 100% wrong. I thought he was the funny thing about it is, was about 3-4 weeks ago, Okafor, I think, came in to Philly to play against the Sixers, and he was playing against Embiid.
Yeah.
Okafor looked like Embiid's little brother.
Yeah. Yeah, he lost the weight and everything. And that's great for him because he can extend his career, because it looked like for a while, Pat, that he may not last long in the league because of the fact that his game is old school and this new wave NBA, and he just couldn't last. But he had to shed some of that weight. He did, and that's a credit to him for being able to do that and stick around.
And the frustrating thing is, you know, again, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I another frustrating player I thought was a miss is Doug Flutie, but he didn't make it. My feeling is this, you know, I got to state the obvious, and I guess everyone says the same thing. we had a process. We picked a bunch of players, and we now have one, maybe two.
You say two.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like the process, but they just missed. I think Embiid is really good. The jury's still out on Simmons. I wish him all the best. I just think if there was a reincarnation of Mo Cheeks.
Well, listen, Pat, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Okafor is a very good one. It's a very good one. A lot of people felt like Okafor, despite the logjam and Embiid ultimately being the prize, that Okafor was going to... And his numbers, what was he, 17-7 his rookie year? But he couldn't handle the losing and getting to the off-the-court stuff, the fight in Boston, the speeding on the bridge, the having the weapon pulled out on him downtown. He had a lot of stuff going on that rookie year and not being able to handle everything when it came to the losses piling up. 610-632-0975. Okafor is a good one. Will in Germantown next on the Fanatic. What's going on, Real? Will?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
You know what? I don't know if people recall, because Andy Reid is the one who, the draft, when he drafted Nick, that year he drafted Nick Foles.
Yep.
Because it got out that Russell Wilson told him, hey, Andy, if you draft me, I will bring a Super Bowl to your town.
Correct.
Now, granted, we did win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, but if we would have drafted Russell Wilson, we wouldn't be having these issues.
Yeah, it would be, there would be one quarterback.
Exactly. And people forget that. And I personally think that when Russell Wilson plays the Eagles, I think he might have a little something like, you know what? You could have had me. I wanted to come there, so now I'm going to have to do you dirty.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. Yes, it's quite possible.
You know, I'll think about that. Now,
That's a great one, though. Russell Wilson. And again, it's just a connection to the city and what could have been, because the reports came out that Russell Wilson was a target of theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just thinking to myself, you chose Nick Foles over Russell Wilson. And, you know, I kind of followed him in college. And when I'm like, you go to two D1 programs and you put up numbers. Why do you not choose him? But
a lot of people didn't choose him.
Exactly.
A lot of people.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then the three that I got wrong.
Okay.
I thought Larry Hughes was a good choice in the draft that year.
Will? I was with you because I was a big fan of his at St. Louis. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say they should have taken him over Paul Pierce. But what I will say is I thought that he would still pan out overall. And while he was okay, he was not what I thought he was going to turn out to be, especially with Larry Brown trying to make him the point guard next to Allen Iverson.
Exactly. You know.
That's a good one. What's the other two?
I'm going back. Sirron Stacy.
Sirron Stacy, the running back from Alabama, right?
Was it Alabama or was it Tennessee?
I thought it was Alabama.
I know it was SEC school. I remember that.
Sirron Stacy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was going to be better than what he was, and he was a bust. And then Reggie Brown, because he came in his rookie year, and I think he put up maybe 700 yards or something like that. And I was like, oh, we got one. I'm like, yes. And then the next year, I'm like, what happened?
Wow, man. Sirron Stacy was an Alabama running back. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, man. That's a good one, Reggie Brown. Great stuff, Will. Appreciate the phone call. That's some really good ones. Russell Wilson has the biggest almost disappointment, right? Because Andy Reid, they said Andy Reid really liked him and went with Nick Foles. Went with Nick Foles. How about that? Man, Larry Hughes, Sirron Stacy. Good ones. It's funny with running backs, too, because you follow them in college and you say, that guy's going to be good. That's going to translate. He is going to be tough. And then they can't play somehow. And we know with the running backs anyway, the shelf life is 3 years. What's the average? 2.5, 3 years for running backs in the NFL? And then they don't pan out? Tough. Larry Hughes, though. I did think Larry Hughes was going to be good. And again, not saying that Larry Hughes was going to be better than Paul Pierce, but it was, all right, Paul Pierce is dropping. You got to take him. Larry Brown promises the family they're going to take him. They take him. all right, he's still going to be really good. Got two Hall of Famers surrounding him. And Larry Hughes at number 9. And Dirk at, what was that? Dirk at 10? No. Dirk at, no, Tractor. Robert Tractor Trailer was 7. I think Dirk was 9 and Paul Pierce was 10. Larry Hughes went 8. That's what it was. Yes. Off the top of my head. I haven't looked that up yet. But 610-632-0975. Great stuff right there from Will. We'll get to Anthony, Dave, Albie on the other side. Guys, hang on. We'll get your thoughts on the other side. 610-632-0975. That was a great one. Russ, Larry Hughes, Saran Stacy. What was the last one? I didn't write that one down. I didn't laugh, but I'll remember it once we come back. 610-632-0975. Thanks so much, guys, for listening. Joe Tordian at 8. Quick break right here on the Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
It is 7:45 here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh Rabick producing the show. I'm Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. And the 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with 3 locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. We'll get to some tweets as well because we have plenty of those to share. But first, we keep it moving on the phones. A lot of people want to jump in. And open lines if you want to jump in as well. 610-632-0975. Anthony in Germantown next on The Fanatic. What's up, Ant?
Yo, what's happening, G?
How you doing, man?
A big fan of yours, man. Big fan.
Thank you.
That year we went to the Super Bowl and T.O. started crying about Donovan spitting up.
Yes.
The play before that, he took a clown in a helmet to his jaw from Sizemore. Sizemore would have been suspended for 4 games for a hit like that today.
Oh, you're talking about Richard Seymour.
Seymour. Put his helmet right on that chin, man. And when you stood up like that, it's a sign you'd be knocked out on your feet.
And then how about this? He came back and threw a touchdown to Greg Lewis. So, what's the problem?
The only problem we had with Donovan McNabb, man, was that he was very frugal.
Yeah, he was.
They said Donovan wouldn't buy you a Happy Meal.
Yeah, you know, and that's a shame. And, you know, what's that didn't necessarily mean anything on the field, but.
No, he could have gave T.O. a couple of his millions. T.O. would have been happy.
Shift that money over there to him.
That's all. Yes. Every good quarterback does that.
Hey, man.
Every good quarterback does that, man.
I hear you. What you got on the disappointment?
Mike Mulder.
You thought he was going to be pretty good, huh?
Yeah. He both had the fastest 20 time at the combine.
Combine warrior.
And he was quick with that first step. He played with a guy like Jerome Brown. He'd have probably led the league in sacks and stuff like that.
Sure.
But we kind of weak up at him. And then there was another guy. He comes from a pedigree football family. His brother played linebacker for the Panthers. For the Packers. Had blonde hair. He was real good linebacker. Can't seem to get his name.
The Matthews?
Yeah, Matthews. And we bought the
from when Chip Kelly brought in his which one was that one? But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I thought he was gonna be good. And then my last one was our safety that played behind him. He like 100. I think he went down there with Sean McDermott when Sean got a head coaching job somewhere. He would play safety for us. By the buck 75 or something like that.
I want to say from Ohio State.
I think he was from Ohio State, man. He was all getting
Kurt me. Coleman, was it?
That's him. Oh, my goodness.
Kurt Coleman. Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Kurt Coleman had a little bit of stuff with him when he went to Carolina and did some work.
Yeah, he played much better. I think he put some weight on.
Yeah.
I really do.
He was a hard hitter. For a smaller guy, he was a hard-hitting safety, and he lasted pretty long in the league, man.
You said he was a hard-hitting safety, but not for Philly.
That was the reputation coming in.
Yeah.
Was that he was a hard-hitting safety. I mean, he had a few. But you also had something on Markelle Fultz?
Oh, yeah. That was, oh, man, that's the biggest.
That was the biggest one? Okay.
So, yeah, because I think then we took him real high in the draft.
Number one.
Oh,
and,
my
yeah.
God.
It was Casey Matthews. Casey Matthews.
Oh,
yes.
That dude.
I appreciate my man Rich Pratt for sending that one in. Casey Matthews, thanks so much for the kind words, Anthony. Thanks for the call. 610-632-0975. Mike Mamula, Kirk Coleman, and Casey Matthews. The problem is, outside of Mike Mamula, that's the only one that you really felt would have an impact like that. And by the way, the one that I missed when he said Larry Hughes and Saran Stacy, Reggie Brown. Reggie Brown is the wide receiver for the Eagles. And he got paid, and he was done. I thought he was going to be good, though. Dave in Germantown next on The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Yo, what's up? My man Smooth is warm honey.
How you
warm
feeling, time. Man? What's going on?
You got it, man. Good to be back.
Good to hear from you.
All right. My biggest disappointment, I'm old school, right, was the Sixers trading Moses Malone for the cripple guy, Jeff Rowland.
Yeah, to Washington.
Oh, my goodness. Moses Malone was the most dominant center. He outplayed everybody on Boston, everybody on L.A., everybody in Milwaukee, and they traded him for a guy who could barely walk. That was a huge disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And my other disappointment was the Sixers picking up the other guy that couldn't play, Andrew Bynum. I mean, jeepers. That was horrible.
That was a tough one, man. And Andrew Souchunas, when I told him we were doing this, that was the one that he gave me right away. He said, Andrew Bynum, after you moved on from Iguodala, you make all those adjustments, Drew Holiday was an all-star, you're looking at it saying, yep, Andrew Bynum coming off of the Lakers, you got the big man in the middle, your point guard, did not work.
Yeah, it's nothing. And the thing is, people didn't realize that L.A., anytime L.A. does a trade, it's for their benefit. They're not going to give you something that's going to you can use against them. They knew that guy couldn't play no more ball.
Yeah, they got him.
They got him good.
They got him.
And my final disappointment is the Eagles conditioning staff or medical staff this season that just passed. Because it's just too many injuries. I'll give Chip Kelly credit because of the fact that he had conditioning on that team. He made sure those guys ate properly. They weighed in. If they didn't weigh in, they got fined $100 per certain amount of weight, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the conditioning this year, you know, if you're conditioned, that takes down the percentage of injuries and stuff like that. And the injuries that they had this year had to be correlated a little bit to not good conditioning. That's my perspective on it because I used to kickbox. And I knew that if you're not conditioned, you get in the ring, you're not going to be able to take the punishment.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, man, great stuff, Dave. Really appreciate you calling in. Andrew Bynum, that's one that really stung for a lot of people. Really stung. But that started everything, didn't it? That started everything. All right, it's time to move on. let's get in here, and that's where Sam Hinkie comes into play. And as I said, my biggest disappointment was I thought that after Sam Hinkie had moved on and Brian Colangelo took over, although Brian Colangelo was not my choice as the general manager, I felt that you were getting a better basketball-focused person in that GM seat to get things moving along as the rebuild was going on, and now you can get some players in here. And I was wrong. He was right in picking Ben Simmons. He got Korkmaz and Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot for 24 and 26 in that same draft in the first round. Passed on Pascal Siakam, passed on Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma. I didn't know Kyle Kuzma would be this good, but at least you knew Josh Hart was something. And Malcolm Brogdon in the second round. Yes. And what happened after that? He went Simmons and then the Markelle Fultz thing. Yeah. Let's go to Mike and Malvern next on The Fanatic. Mike.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I got a few things that growing up, I used to listen, Fanatic of the Eagles, of course, when the 83 draft, Eagles drafted at number 8, which 83 was a great draft. They had drafted at number 8 was Michael Haddix.
Yes, I remember that name.
And after him, there was several Hall of Famers like Dan Marino, Willie Gault, Darryl Green, and of course, he only lasted a few years.
Wow, they definitely dropped the ball on that one.
Okay. Now I have a few things that I used to watch Dick Vermeil coach at Widener in Chester.
Yep.
And but he didn't draft anybody from around his area. And on the next field at Widener was Billy White Shoes Johnson. He would just practice on the next field, but he never drafted him. Same with Joe Klecko, who came from Chester.
Yes.
Went to Temple, and Hal Long was down the road to Villanova.
Yep.
It, all during Vermeil's years. They could have had him because he was like a second-round pick.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And it's tough when the local teams miss out on the local college players because they do have them in their backyard. You are able to see how well they perform. You get some right. You look at Brian Westbrook, the Eagles, they got that one right. You look at someone like Robbie Anderson, who they, you know, you could have got him for nothing, basically. And Robbie Anderson is doing some nice things now in New York with the Jets, and people want him in the offseason here for the Birds. And then, you know, just many others. But you know how it goes. You can't take all of them from the local the local teams. It's just what it is. Mike, thanks so much for the call, man. Great stuff. 610-632-0975. Fun stuff as we talk about the McNabb and T.O. thing. That's where this conversation really stems from. And we said we would dive into it a lot more at 8 o'clock. That's when Joe Torti steps in. So we will do that on the other side when Joe Torti sits here in the studio. 610-632-0975. If you want to keep the conversation moving, we see Gerald there. We'll get to him and everybody else when we get back. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Joe Torti coming up next. Josh Ravick producing here on The Fanatic.